I just want to play the piano. I want to have a good life with the dogs and with you.
I knock gently on the door.
Can I help you, gentlemen, with something?
Real sorry to bother you this time of night, Miss Miller, but apparently you're the person to speak to about a certain Noah Gruel.
You might know that Mr. Gruel was a member of a much larger family and we are cousins of his.
So, that's fine and all, but what do I get out of that?
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
Well, what do you want, Miss Miller? I'm quite eager to see this deal go through. I can get you tickets to most of the nicest places in town.
Oh? What places?
Well, ever wanted to go behind the scenes of the Field Museum? I have some pull. Simply need to say your name, and I can get you tickets a few days. It's quite nice, lots of nice things.
What about the theater? Do you have something about that?
You a theatre woman?
I enjoy the occasional show. You can definitely see, it's almost like she's tried this before. Like you're not the only or the first person trying to get in contact with Noah. She seems way too professional at this. Like she's used to it.
Yes, I smile. I actually am fine with these sort of people. You know what? Yes, I could definitely get you a good ticket to a show. You name the show, and I'll see what I can do.
A ticket? I have a husband, you know.
Two tickets it is.
I hear there's a wonderful show starring Jack Black and Jennifer Aniston on right now.
Oh, I haven't heard about that one. That sounds interesting. Right, let me make a phone call and see what Noah is doing. He's probably doing fuck all, like usual. Give me a second.
Thank you, and I also do take out my business card and hand it to her, saying, just so you know I'm good, that's the number to call. I make things happen.
Thanks. Keep it safe.
Can we come in and wait, rather than waiting in the corridor?
No, you can wait in the corridor like two good little boys until I make my phone call, okay? She closes the door.
Well, the good news is I think we are at least going to get in contact with him, but I do think we're going to need to play ball.
Do you think it was wise giving her your name and card in case things go wrong?
In case things go wrong, well, I think it's going to be trouble no matter what. For the moment, I am known, despite your proclamation that you don't. I'm known among people, and I'm still... I lean in very closely. I do still live, in some ways at least.
Well, yes, and as we know, the ladies on the information booth know who I am, so discretion isn't exactly guaranteed here.
The important thing is we're...
I'm going to get very frustrated, however, if we just get left out in this corridor for hours at a time.
Hopefully, he'll know enough, if he really is an up-and-comer, to know that I, at least that number, has weight behind it. I can definitely get her tickets. That's easy. I have money. And hopefully, he wants money too. Or something like that.
She returns out in a little while later. About 10 minutes. Mr. Gruel has around 15 minutes to spare, he says. Although he doesn't do anything, really. I do everything for him. but that's what he tells everyone. So, you want to come in or...
If it's through this door, yes, we will follow you. You take us where we need to go.
Alright, just follow me then. She leads you down a corridor that is full of what looks like office cubicles behind glass doors. Almost everything in here is made of glass. The only room that is frosted, where the glass is frosted, is the back room of this corridor, where you can see a blue light exuding from, like a light from a screen. Yeah, he's in there. He doesn't like light, not any kind of light, really. He just sits on his computer, so that's what you can
see. I sympathize.
So yeah, make it quick. He's not the most patient guy in the world, and he wasn't really happy about me bringing in guests this late.
Well, we'd better get straight in then.
Yeah, enjoy.
I nod, follow behind Dolph, and just very briefly add, don't worry, free tickets. Bring a friend.
Yeah, I'm gonna be expecting that.
Knock on the door.
You hear the sound of a laptop slamming shut. And you hear a come in.
Open the door, walk in.
And you walk in and see Noah, who is sitting in this enormous office that is basically empty. It is definitely very minimalistic decoration. There is a big desk in front of him made entirely of glass again. He's sitting on a what looks like a very expensive, almost kind of futuristic office chair with a laptop in his lap. And the entire back wall of this office is also just glass, and you can see the runway from here, and you can see planes coming and going like a almost like a pendulum. He turns on his lamp on the desk and looks up at you. He's a tiny man. He looks even tinier when he's sitting in this giant room, and he almost looks a little nervous when he turns on the light and puffs up his chest a bit and looks up at you. How can I help you, gentlemen?
Would you prefer that we sit to discuss business or stand?
Who are you, first of all?
Dolph Sheng. I extend a hand.
Mr. Gribble, to you. It is...
Vincent Taylor. I don't extend a hand, but I do dip my head slightly and say, pleasure to meet you, Mr.
Sit down. He points to a couple of chairs.
We've been told we only have about 15 minutes. We should be able to get this sorted quicker than that, and then you can get back to whatever you were doing beforehand.
I'm a very busy gentleman. He taps his laptop.
I have no doubt the running of an airport, such as whatever your involvement is in that, must be incredibly time-consuming, so we won't consume your time. We're here because there is something important coming through your airport tomorrow. And
a lot of important people come to my airport. I control the airport, you see. Nothing enters or leaves Chicago through my airport without me knowing.
Well, there may be some interesting kindred coming in through your airport tomorrow.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, in that case, consider us informing you. This is by direction of the prince, and we are here to inform you that these interesting kindred are going to be passing through, that they require the security that kindred requested by the prince should be given. We will be on the other side waiting to collect them. We do not want them setting off any security, any alarms. We certainly don't want any kind of mortal intrusion into what they're doing. I'm sure you can understand. And I'm sure that any cooperation that you can extend to this little piece of business will be gratefully rewarded.
After all, we respect your domain and...
You better...
That's why we're here talking to you about it and not trying to smuggle something in under your nose.
Well, someone is definitely trying to smuggle something in under my nose tomorrow. They think I'm stupid, they think they can just play games with me. And I'm not stupid. I own this airport. This is mine. This is my domain.
And now that is a very respectable domain for any kindred to possess. It's one of the most important ones in the entire city, and we respect that. We aren't mocking you. The reason we are here addressing you in person is because it may well be that our interests cross. It may well be that these visitors who you believe were trying to smuggle themselves in had merely not known to contact you because you are a fairly new player on the scene, and that is why we've been sent by our monarch to speak with you and ensure that this all goes by without any hassle or fuss, with all correct tributes being paid to you, whatever it is that you need to make this happen successfully.
Problem is, I've already been paid. Yeah. Someone has been here before you and paid me to...
To what?
If the cargo arriving tomorrow has any doubtful motives, they are not leaving my airport. I can tell you that much.
Well, that's wonderful. What did they pay you?
Why are you asking?
Well, we're going to do better, of course.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh, are you?
Vincent, hold on a second. We're here on behalf of the prince of this city. So I think
Do you think I give a shit about the prince? I don't. No.
Well, very well. We'll go back to him and tell him that was your answer, that you don't give a shit about his request of you, and I suppose the chips will fall where they may, won't they?
Especially a shame, because again, the fact that we're here represents, of course, the prince wanting to give you his respect. Respect your domain. Stop people playing games with you. You did say you don't like people playing games with you.
No, it's his fault that they play games with me. I don't like the prince. I don't want his respect. He's not a man I want respect from, no. But I do... I want money. Did you say something about money?
Well, I did. So, what did they pay you? Huh. And who paid you?
I can't tell you who, but I can tell you that it was quite the nice amount of money. 250,000 to be exact. Can you top that?
Well, I might be able to do something. Okay, you don't like the prince. Fair enough. Let's cut to brass tacks. But you do want to be respected, right? You do want to be seen, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I might be able to get you somewhere where the Toreador Primogen herself would be. That would be a pretty good ticket, right? You could go in there, you could show her how important you are. I'm sure she'd love that.
Oh, she attends every Elysium. That's not special to me.
Can you get into every Elysium?
Yes, I can.
You see a sort of little mild tick, but I keep it in. All right, then, 250,000.
Which, may I ask, Mr. Gruel, which family do you belong to?
It's none of your business.
Well, I'm just asking. I'm more than that. I'll show you mine if you'll show me yours.
I don't care about yours. I don't care about the two of you at all. You're wasting my time. I'm very busy, you know. I have a lot of people working under me, and they look up to me.
Why do you seem so nervous? What is it that's going on? Is it something we can help with?
I'm not nervous. No, it's just the way I speak.
Oh, I do apologize. That must be awful for you.
It's fine.
So money. Money.
Money, yeah, money.
All right, how much would you want?
What about 500,000?
I take a moment to do a calculation. With 3 dots and resources... Would I have that?
You will have that, but that will be almost all you have.
I'm going to try something, though, because I think that much money is far too much for a one-off. You know, you're not going to be able to call on that much money on the drop of a hat.
No.
I'm going to try using one of my disciplines.
Oh, okay. What are you using?
As I have presence, I have awe as a free action. So I will be rolling my manipulation plus presence versus his composure plus intelligence. I get 4 successes.
He looks at you and he almost seems like his eyes go to you now, Dolph, instead of looking at Vincent, where his eyes has been ever since he talked about money. Okay.
Now, as I said again, and I'm going to make this point one more time because I need you to really understand it, I'm looking out for your best interest here. Noah, isn't it?
Yes. Mr. Greville to you.
Mr. Growell, of course, we all, all of us in this city, greatly respect your domain and the power that you wield.
You should.
But
I'm very powerful.
We can get you, and you may not respect him, but you might be able to respect the possibility that what we can get you will offer you, and that is a one-on-one meeting with the prince of this city.
Uh-huh.
For as long as you need, where you can make whatever requests, whatever demands that you want of the city, and no matter how outlandish they may be to the prince's mind, he will entertain them, because this cargo is very important, and no one in this city gets a one-on-one meeting with the prince. No. But that's what we're offering you, and that's a priceless boon, Mr. Gruel. This is something that I think even you, someone who doesn't respect the prince, can agree is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm going to try rolling a persuasion, and do you think charisma or manipulation?
Charisma.
And I get to add my presence to it, of course, so that's 8 dice.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, well, that's not as brilliant as one would hope. So I get 3 successes on that.
Yeah, a meeting with the prince, you say? Yeah, Mr. Jackson himself. Okay,
one on one.
Okay. I want that, and I want 25,000 for wasting my time.
Sure. Deal.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen. I will not mess with your cargo as long as you get it out of my airport without making a mess.
As long as it can get to the other side of security to us, we can guarantee that that will happen. Now, I've got one last question for you, Mr. Gruel, and then we'll be out of your hair. If my friend doesn't mind my asking.
I kind of click my teeth a little and say, no, not at all.
Well, while Vincent is writing you a check, I just wanted to know, if someone else has genuinely offered you cash to interfere with this, what could we offer you to reveal the identity of that individual?
What about my remaining $475,000.
You don't think the prince would be incredibly grateful to know who's scheming against him?
Sure. I'll tell the prince myself during my meeting. I'm sure he'll like that.
Oh, well, in that case, we don't need to take up any more of your time.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I'm sure you're very busy. So
very
we'll
busy,
let you
man.
Get back to it, unless you have anything you want to say, Vincent.
I have already started taking out the checkbook I do keep on my person, and very slowly am just writing him a check. 25,000.
He takes the check and he almost goes into an orgasm as he's holding the check. And thank you. I'm very much into finances.
If you ever need any financial advice, by all means, call. And come by the art gallery sometime.
Sure. He swivels around in his chair and sniffs his check. He's back against you.
I make to rise. How many dots of resources would you say I've lost?
I don't think it's enough for you to lose an entire dot of resources, because you actually didn't pay enough. So I will find out some way that this will limit you.
Very well, although Dolph could definitely tell, I still kind of, before I handed over the check, there was a slight pause, but it's handed. I get up and say, good evening.
All right, so you both leave, and let's move over to Yama now. Yama,
yeah.
You are heading to Crooks, one of the Crooks in the city. And you're heading to the one that looks like it's under construction. There's definitely... It looks like it's closed. It definitely looks like it's closed. The only light you can see from the street is light coming from a basement window, a couple of basement windows. And the only thing that's covering the building is there's a lot of plastic lying around. It definitely looks like it is under construction. There is a sign on some of the covering saying, please wear safety equipment when entering. So that's what you see when you arrive.
So, I sit there in my car and I eye this building up and down and I read the lines of the letter once again. They're currently renovating and he's probably around here. I look over to the passenger seat where Beethoven is sat and I nod to him and I say, well, time to put on a show, I guess. Before I left my boyfriend's house, I took care to gather up my swarm again, and I'm starting to formulate an idea in my head of what I could do here. Is there anyone outside, like, guarding the place or anything? People looking at?
No, you can't see anyone. It looks pretty dead.
Curious. I get out of the car and I move up to the place. Looking around for a door or usable entrance.
What you can see is there is a back door. There's almost kind of this fortified door. And you can see the windows to the basement.
I look in.
You look into the window?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get down on your knees because this window is at street level. And you look in through this window that's exuding this kind of like almost cold industrial light. And you see a room that's basically empty. It looks like a normal concrete basement room. The only thing that's in there is a person sitting on the floor. What looks like an elderly man. The thing is, he's not wearing anything but a pair of torn up pants, and his entire body is covered in what looks like wounds from him being burned. He looks like he's been burned alive. He is sitting on the floor on his knees holding a young blonde man in his arms, and he is definitely, absolutely feeding from him. The blonde man doesn't seem to mind that much, but it's not a pleasant show that you're watching. He is quite violent with the young man, and he is he doesn't seem like he cares too much about his well-being, as he is almost pushing him down into this concrete floor.
I'm looking at the photo. Is any of these persons Charles Dawson?
That definitely does look like Charles. Someone that could be Charles Dawson from the back.
The old burnt one?
Yes.
Curious. And no one else is there. Is there any entrance that would take me down to that room?
Well, as you're sitting there and looking, he finishes what he's doing and he just tosses the limp body across the floor like it's nothing. And he disappears into the darkness again. You can look for a back entrance, but I would like for you to make an investigation and awareness roll.
I'll do that. I roll a 3.
Okay. You look around the building, and it takes you a little while. On your way there, you actually see there's someone else walking around the building. Looks like a young woman.
I straighten up and I say, hello there.
Hello?
Are you, here for
the... Hi, my name is Ina. Ina Miller.
Hi, Ina Miller. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Are you looking for Croc?
That I am.
Alright, me too. I can't find that old man anywhere.
Well, then we have something in common. How are we getting into this building, Ina?
Well, you can usually just use the back entrance if you walk around that corner over there. But he's not very welcoming. He kind of just declined me, so good luck getting in.
What business do you had with Mr. Dawson?
I'm one of his friends.
And he declined you to enter?
Well, he's a peculiar kind of guy. He has his nights where he just wants to be isolated in his little basement.
Yeah. Nights when he has happened to be almost set on fire.
What?
Nothing. So, you were saying I can come into the back entrance?
Yeah, just walk around that corner over there. It's because it's concealed right now.
And what are you gonna do now that you were denied an audience with
him? I guess if he lets you in, maybe he lets me in. I mean, you can try.
Very well. What do you want with him?
I'm just one of his friends. I was just here to see how he's doing.
And if he doesn't want to talk to you, he's probably made that quite clear.
We just said right now, so I'm just kind of hanging around out here.
That's a kind of sad thing to do, isn't it?
Life is sad.
Let's go then.
Yeah, I'll let you try. He leaves you to it.
I start going, and I look back at the car where I left Beethoven. What nonsense. Perfect. Need another person coming with me. And I go up to that back entrance and I knock on the door.
So you knock on the door and there's an eye height slot that will slide open and you see a pair of what could look like Crook's eyes. And it says, we're closed. Go to the Steel Horse Lounge.
Mr. Dawson, I have some business I need to discuss with you tonight.
Business? What are you? A businessman? He laughs at his own joke.
I am here on some official business of the prince's, and I need your attention for just a few minutes.
Yeah, prince?
Now you listen here, you little piece of shit. You're gonna get this and all your places burnt down to the ground if you don't comply immediately and open the fucking door!
Listen, you come to my bar.
I come.
You threaten.
With a letter of authority.
Uh-huh.
Open the door and let me in.
I see. Okay, I want you to make a manipulation intimidation roll here.
Right. That's two successes.
You hear a almost like a rusty laugh from inside the door. Who the fuck are you supposed to be? Listen, you can burn this place right down to the fucking ground. I don't give a shit. I'm gonna build a new one on like a rat. You get that? I'm gonna find someplace else. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about the prince or you.
I look at him blankly. Well, give me 1 minute of your time. I'm sure you heard of a certain delegation that's about to arrive tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear everything. I know everything.
How fantastically amusing. You really have made an impression with this prince that you obviously don't care about. Now, listen. What he wants is your involvement. He wants his little delegation to be introduced to you and what you do. You made quite an impression.
One second. I'm just gonna open the door here. He opens the door, and you see this not very tall, kind of skinny old man standing without a shirt on. He has blood, congealed blood, dried blood everywhere on his upper body. He looks like he hasn't taken a shower in years. And the bar looks just as run down as he does. The basement is a moldy mess. There's raw brick on the walls, and it's dripping water from heating pipes. There's a foul, sweet smell of rotten flesh down there. There's occasional yellow eyes from rats observing you from the dark. Oh, how much do you have in hunger now?
3.
Please, make yourself at home down here. Excuse the mess. We are renovating. I'm sure you can understand.
Yeah, and I make my way in. And look around at the place. Quite ambitious. You've taken a big project on here.
Yeah. You know, state requirements. The city of Chicago are pretty strict with their bar rules. You wouldn't think they are, but they are. So you want me to what again? And listen, if you mention the prince one more fucking time in my bar, I'm gonna murder you. You get that?
You can try, I say, and I smile.
Oh, I will not only try, my young friend. I will succeed.
Whatever. So, I have been asked that you help us out and get a little audience yourself. Since you're obviously a man of ambition, I'm sure you could arrange to this. You want to play a part in the business that happens in this city?
Not really.
Well, not really.
Nah.
I thought it was under our impression that you want to be someone who wants to prove his relevance.
Yeah, but not for
this. Or do you just want to sit around here in the basement?
Listen.
Sucking blood from poor little blonde guys all night?
I mean, I wish I could. I wish I could. That would be amazing. But you have to understand this, kid. The city is parted up in two teams. There is the good guys, that's the prince, and then there's the bad guys. That's me. Okay, I've been in this game for longer than you can count. So I will suggest another time when you want to ask me a favor. You don't threaten me with violence or burning down my bar. That's rule number one when you step into someone's domain. You do know the rules of our kind, don't you?
I do know rules of being polite and not a total fucking idiot like you were when trying to usher me away so quickly.
You are the one threatening to burn down my bar.
You were the one not giving me an audience, you little prick.
Giving you an audience? What the fuck are you talking about?
I wanted to talk to you.
I see. And what do you do when people don't want to talk to you in return? Do you threaten them with burning down their fucking livelihood? No, you don't. Are you delusional? Why am I even wasting my fucking time with
I'm
you?
I'm asking myself the same question.
Well, fine then, leave. You can see that I'm busy. He bobs to the guy on the floor that's kind of just moaning.
And I nod. And I say, very well. If you want to be Mr. Bad Guy, you don't want to take part in the proceedings or make an impression with these people. You just want to make insignificant little show-offs, then so be it. I have been wasting my time.
Listen, sweetheart. Just because you don't want to impress His Highness doesn't mean that you don't have importance in this city. You should know that. Yeah, I know who you are, and I know what you belong to. You're like me. You should understand that running errands for the prince is below us. Below our type, our clan. We are more intelligent than that. We are not the servants of a Ventru prince. We are our own, we always have been.
I fold my arms at this, suddenly taken a bit by surprise.
I will again suggest to you, youngling, that you do not threaten some of the older members of your clan. It's giving you a bad reputation, especially for someone who's supposed to live forever.
I look abashed. I've been trying to put on a show here, trying to do something, hoping with all my heart, or whatever's left of it, that it would work, but it didn't. Now I'm being taught something by someone who might be closer to me than all these other people that I met the last 24 hours. Well.
Yeah, you don't need to be sorry, just think for a goddamn second before you step into someone else's domain who is a part of your own clan.
Look, I've been given this shitty mission without me wanting. I'm trying to do stuff that I'm not good at. If you know who I am and what I do, then you know I'm well outside my jurisdiction. So, yeah. I was doing my best
at... to being a tough guy?
Doing something for this community. Man, okay, if you say that the prince is no one that should be respected and you got your own ways of dealing with stuff, I don't know, I don't even keep inside of this society. If you manage to do that with whatever you got going on here, which seems like you're pretty far gone with something else, then fine, that's what I would love to do too. Stick to myself and do my things. What do you suggest I do?
That's what I like to hear. You know? Build your own empire. That's what I did. I built Crooks. Thought to myself, what can I do to become someone, something in this city without licking the ass of some guy who thinks he is the boss of me?
So what do you suggest I do?
Well, what's the problem here? The problem, you said something about the people, the delegation.
I have been informed
tomorrow
that you would know about this. Like you said you know everything. Sounding very pompous, I might add.
I know everything. But I don't know everything about everything, you see. I know that there is someone supposed to arrive tomorrow. Someone of great importance. Someone that means a lot to the prince. And that is my cue. That is where I step in and make a mess. Because that's fun. You see? I like to have fun. I like to show my muscles.
Yeah, it seems like you fit your description quite well. And I hand over the letter that I've been given about him.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty
accurate. Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, I think
you wanna,
so.
You want to have some
fun?
You want to disrupt proceedings? What do you plan to do?
Yeah. I don't know yet. Something.
Why?
Because it's fun. Because it fucks up Prince Jackson's plans. And I like fucking up his plans.
You got something personal against him?
Not anything else, and he thinks he's some fucking big shot.
You met him?
Have I met him? Yes, I have met him. Do you know who I am, kid?
I know what's in that letter. That's about it. But do indulge me.
Right. Well, my name is Crook, and I'm old as a motherfucker. That's who I am, and that's all that matters in a Camarilla city. Listen. I'm not gonna have some neonate come in here and dictate what I do and what I not do with my spare time. I have plans tomorrow. My plans is to disrupt this in some way. Unless you can persuade me otherwise. Unless you can find something else fun for me to do.
Well, what could I do for you? Anything I could do for you to convince you to not to. Or maybe if you think that I shouldn't be following this particular prince's orders, you know, maybe you could help a guy out. Yeah, like you see, we've got some things in common.
Yeah, that definitely helps your case. Helps me from not ripping your throat out by now. Let's see. Gee, I love chaos. He starts walking around the room, almost philosophizing. I love chaos. I love when patterns break. I love when rules are unraveled, disheveled, fucked up. That's what I love.
Yeah?
I love to do the exact opposite of what I've been told to do.
Well, like I said, I wasn't going to ask you to stay out of this. I was just going to ask you to get involved instead. But you just want to make a mess.
Get involved?
Yeah.
How get involved?
You could meet these people. Maybe influence them.
No. Oh, I see. I can meet these people.
Yeah, well, that was what I was trying to say, that we wanted to set up a meeting because of your influence.
Uh-huh.
But you weren't interested in that. You want to do something else.
If I want to meet these people, I will meet these people. Okay. Listen, there's someone in this city that owes me money. A lot of money. I am getting tired of raking them in. And I want you to do it for me. Okay?
Who's the person?
He gives you a little note. He has crumbled and put down his pants, and he pulls it up and he gives it to you. This is the guy. He is known to be a troublemaker, but I'm getting old. I'm getting fucking tired. And I just want to, as you said, spend my life on life sucking blood from dead blonde young guys.
And this guy, is he another old fucker like you? I smile.
Not that old. I'm sure that you and some of your the Prince's other lackeys can probably help you out. Your little team.
Alright. We'll have a look.
Yeah, well, I'll keep out of your business. If you take care of my business, I'll keep out of your business. Is that cool?
It sounds like a fair deal to me, and I hold out my hand.
Alright, don't you fucking burn my bar down.
Yeah, well,
you're good enough, kid. Just watch your manners.
Yeah, right. Well, you enjoy being a little rat, and I'll talk to you later.
Alright, take care, man.
Yeah, see you around.
You have just, basically completed your mission with Flyboy. It doesn't take long before you are back in the terminal, and Dolph, your phone is ringing. It's from a number you don't really recognize.
Go on ahead to the car, Vincent. I'll just get this.
Sure. I head off to the car, holding in for now the mass indignation I have at not only giving this individual that money, but also he gets into all the Elysiums. I've never seen him in Elysium. Who the fuck did he think he was? Fly boy, my ass.
As Vincent trails away, then I will pick up the phone. Yes?
Hello, Mr. Xing. I am one of the nurses that took care of your friend.
Oh, yes. How is she?
I'm calling because you left your card here, and so you are one of the only people we know. We don't really have any identification on her. So I'm just calling because there is a couple here that claims to be her parents. But since we do not have the name of this young woman, we cannot confirm. And they seem to be quite upset. Would there be any possibility of you coming out here as soon as possible?
Yes, hold tight. I'll make sure I'm with you within the hour.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Mm. All right, I'll walk quickly to the car. Can we stop by the city hospital, please, on the way back into town? I can then get a taxi from there if you don't want to hang around in the car park.
Very well, I assume you have some business with that. Was it your ghoul?
I do have some business, yes.
All right, fine. Tell her, drive us by the city hospital, and then we'll conclude our business for the night, I suppose.
I'm rather distracted on the journey. I don't really talk much about our encounter with Flyboy, other than to occasionally murmur that it was seemed to go well.
I, on the other hand, am full of constant put-downs for Mr. Flyboy. I also quickly tell her to arrange for the free tickets to this show. Felicity Miller, make it happen. These two delegates better be worth the money I am investing already. But it's fine, it's fine.
Alright, so you arrive at the hospital around 20 minutes later. It's obviously still open. There's still light from a couple of windows. And there is a couple of ambulances just driving by ever so slowly.
I'll get out here. Are you going to be driving back into the city to catch up with Alan? Or
I suppose I could go and... Yes.
I have your number. I'll let you know once I'm free.
Certainly. I'll check in with him, make sure he's done his part, and...
No, I'm certainly not going to be up for dealing with the Angus anyway. I've got... things I need to deal with, so I'll be in touch.
All right, Dolph. For what it's worth, despite his complete lack of any respect or brains, you're actually pretty good at dealing with these morons.
Yes, I work with a lot of them.
All right, well, good night then.
I'll walk off toward the hospital. I'll go up to the visitor's reception, if there's anyone on there at this time of night. If not, I will grab a passing nurse.
There is a young man sitting in the booth. Sir, what can I help you with?
I was called earlier. I dropped a friend off at the emergency room, and apparently two people, unidentified, have just turned up. Basically, I need to be permitted to enter the emergency room as a visitor late this night.
Oh, I'm sure we can make that happen. It's a young woman without identification, is that correct?
Ah, good. You do have excellent computers here in this hospital. Yes, that's the one.
Right. I will give him 1 second. He prints out a little slip for you and hands it over. This is your... Have it on you at all time, and no one will question.
Of course. I finally remember I've got that awful hoodie on, and I remove it. You can have this. I just pass it across the counter and walk on to the ER.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so as you're approaching the ER, you can hear two familiar voices that are quite loud. And you immediately recognize that this is her parents. And you have no idea how they got a note that she's here. But they are both here, and they are both angry, especially her dad. And he is yelling at a nurse who is desperately trying to explain to him what is happening, and what has happened, and why she's here. And the nurse looks up at you as you're walking towards them, almost shaking her head like, no, don't approach right now.
I'm still going to approach because I want to see her, but I'm going to... are they essentially at the foot of her bed, or are they basically stuck at reception?
Yeah, they're standing on in the hallway. They are not in her room.
Excellent. Okay, I will find another nurse.
Okay, so you'll try to pass by them unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I need a roll for that, because this is quite a small hallway.
Yes, stealth isn't my forte, but I'll give it a go. I've got 3 dice to roll.
Yes.
I get a single success.
All right. Since they are fully in discussion with this nurse, they don't really recognize you, or they don't really see you. So you are able to slip by them without much of an issue.
I sashay by, and... Yes, if I can find another nurse, I'm sure they love nothing more than to be accosted by visitors. Excuse me, I've got this pass. I'm here to see the young girl that got admitted. She didn't have a name. Was in an accident earlier tonight.
Oh, you are the gentleman who came in with her, is that true?
That's right, yes.
Yes. You can see on the nurse that she's almost afraid of saying something. Afraid of telling you or informing you what's going on.
Please, I'm very worried about her.
Can I ask you if you are family or who are you exactly?
I'm her boyfriend.
Oh God. Yes. Well, she's in the last room to the left. She points down towards.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd walk on.
You enter the room, and it's dark. It's in the middle of the night, so they've turned off the light. The only light source in the room is a screen that's monitoring her blood pressure and saturation. And she is lying there, eyes closed, almost like she's sleeping, almost like you see her every night. And she doesn't seem like herself. She doesn't have that blush in her cheeks she always has naturally. She looks awfully pale. You can see that she's still alive, because you can see her heart, her pulse, very slowly beeping off on the screen.
I take one of her hands, put it in mine.
It's warm to the touch, but still feels a little different. Despite her lying there, she looks beautiful, just as beautiful as the first time you saw her. Her hair is lying perfectly by both her sides, just covering, just long enough to cover parts of her breasts. She doesn't really react when you take her hand. But it is like she recognizes that you're here. You can almost feel it.
Oh, Ada. Sometimes I forget what a fantastic model you are. So sorry you've been caught up in all this. So sorry this happened to you. You didn't deserve this. You've been nothing but sweet. Always so sweet. And I'm not going to let him get away with this. And I'm going to be right here for you once you're better. And I'll do a much better job of looking after you in future. So sorry I've been so cold and distant with everything that's happened to me. You've been more understanding than I could ever explain to you while you were awake. I think if you hadn't been around, I probably wouldn't have survived. I wouldn't have wanted to survive. I know I take advantage of your good nature. I know I snap at you. And there's probably a good reason your dad doesn't like me much. I just want you to get better. And then we can work on making us better. You need to get better first.
You can still see she still has a couple of marks on her throat from where she was bitten. You can't feel her reacting, but you can see her pulse rising a bit. Just a bit. Just 10 more beats per minute.
Well, I'm not going to do anything like look at her chart. I don't understand medicine. I'll keep hold of her hand for a while. I'll make a rouse check to make sure there's a bit of warmth in my hand.
Yeah.
I manage to restrain myself and warm my body.
A little while after, you can hear voices on in the hallway. You don't really recognize who they are before they actually enter the room. It's another nurse. It's a nurse that's been talking to her parents, and her parents following after her. She's talking to them and explaining things when she suddenly stops and sees you and says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know she already had visitors. I'm sorry, sir. We can only have two visitors at a time." She only says that. She just only says that when the dad almost pushes her aside and walks over towards you and say, "You, what did you do to my little girl?"
"Mr. Simpson, I'm so sorry. There was a fight at the bar, your daughter."
"And you just left her here? What kind of boyfriend are you?"
"I'm not a doctor. She was assaulted and they needed to treat her. I went for a walk around the hospital, and as you can see, I've been in here. As soon as I was allowed."
"Oh, waiter.
So you calm yourself down. She's not going to want to hear you like this, is she?"
"Oh, waiter, what happened to you? What happened to her?"
"Some lunatic in a bar was drunk and bit her on the neck."
Bit her?"
"Yes, you know, like a dog. With teeth."
"Oh, poor Ada, my little Ada." He holds her hand, he holds her other hand, and just falls to her, to the side of her bed, and starts sobbing. Her mom is standing in the doorway. She's pale as a sheet. She doesn't say anything. She looks like a statue. That bubbly woman you've always known, who's always been so sweet, she's just... seems like all life has just disappeared from her eyes.
"Mrs. S, I'm so sorry this has happened to your daughter. It all happened so suddenly. I was at the bar and getting us both drinks. As I turned around, someone was attacking her. And I scared him away. And I got her straight to the hospital. That's all there really is to it. It was a freak occurrence."
"The doctor said that she suffered head trauma."
"I think when she was assaulted, her head collided with a piece of furniture."
"Dolph, she looks over at you."
"Yes."
"You have to find who did this to my little Ada. Can you understand that?"
"Of course, and when I do, I'm already in touch with the police. Don't worry, we'll get justice for her."
"Yes. Speaking of the police, they've been here. They've asked for you. And the doctor also wants to see you."
"Well, yes, we must have crossed over then, because I've spoken to the police, so that must have happened after they came by. But the doctor, you say?"
"Yes, he's in the hallway. Can you please give us a moment with Ada?"
"Yes, of course. Call out, though, if she wakes up."
"Yes, if she wakes up."
"I'm sure she will very soon. She just needs to rest."
She nods. So in the corridor, there is a doctor. He's currently speaking to two nurses who are nodding, and they're in a conversation about some other patient. He turns around. He is an elderly gentleman. He looks nice. He's a little overweight, but he almost looks like Santa Claus without a beard. And he puts his hand on your shoulder as soon as he sees you, and he says, "It's good that you came in with her as quickly as you did."
"What's going on, Doctor? I'm getting the impression there's more to this than a bite to the neck."
Let's move into the room in here. And there's a visitor's room when you both sit down. He pours you a cup of coffee and puts it next to you. "Your girlfriend, I understand."
"Yes."
"Yes. She suffered head trauma. And she is oddly anemic. Which is odd, since She didn't have any lacerations in her skin. I'm not quite sure how this could have happened. We have scanned her. There is no hemorrhaging.
Maybe the bite on her neck?
That should not cause this much. It should not. Her hemoglobin is 3.2. Do you understand? That's very, very low for such a young girl.
I'll take your word for it.
Now, Mr. Shing, I'm sure you understand that I, as a medical professional and a doctor, I'm under professional secrecy, confidentiality.
Yes.
So you can be honest with me about what happened here. Give me all the tools I need to help Ada through this.
A drunken man bit her on the neck, and during the subsequent fight, she hit her head.
Mr. Shing, I also...
I would say that's fairly apparent, and I'm not lying. That is exactly what happened.
I also need you to understand, Mr. Shing, that if this is a case of spousal abuse, I need to report this to the right authorities. And I must break that confidentiality. But this is the best way. The truth is the best way to save her.
Well, for obvious reasons, I'm not going to say that it is, because it isn't. And frankly, given the sheer number of witnesses to what happened at the bar, I think anyone there would attest that that wasn't the case. So I appreciate you being diligent. I'm sure there are plenty of women that are brought in here by husbands and boyfriends that are treating them cruelly. But that's not me, and that's not what I've done. She was injured by someone else, and the first thing I did was bring her to the hospital.
And then you left immediately after.
I'm not very good in hospitals.
Yet you're here.
Yes, I overcame my fear of this place, and I came back. Not that you're a police officer, but if I was beating her and somehow making her anemic, why would I have come back?
Well, I'm asking that myself, Mr. Shing. I'm not trying to blame you for what happened to Ada. All I'm trying to do is to help her. That's my job, you see.
Well, I understand that, and I appreciate that. As I say, I'm sure there are lots of women that are brought in who are victims of this, and I'm sure lots of men as well. But that isn't the case in this situation. So I appreciate you being thorough, but I'm sorry that my temper was rising there. I'm sure most people who get confronted with the possibility that they might possibly be guilty of spousal abuse do get quite
irritated.
Sensitive, mm-hmm. Prickly.
Yes. Yes, her father explained that you have a tendency to be aggressive at times.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. He's always called me a cold fish to my face. We don't get on.
I see. Regardless, I am going to try everything I have in my power to find out what happened to Ada. Whatever it is, I'm going to believe you. Because it's frankly the only thing I have to go after. We'll perform a couple of more scans to see if she... There's some undiscovered bleeding going on that's causing her low hemoglobin. That's all I can do right now. I can tell you her vitals are good. She's not dying. That's for sure.
Well, good.
Yeah, well, excuse my frankness. She's doing well. I'm sure that she'll push through this. She's a young girl. She's in good shape. She doesn't have any illnesses. A simple attack like that should not put her in a state like this. That's what I'm not understanding.
Well, other than the anemia, obviously that's an underlying condition that hadn't been diagnosed until now. Maybe she's never been in an accident before, and so her blood hasn't been taken.
Hmm.
I'm not a doctor, but that would certainly make sense to me.
It looks like she's been bitten, is that correct?
The person assaulting her had bitten her, yes.
It looks like canines, almost. It looks like a small dog bite.
No, he looked like some kind of vagrant. I don't even know if he had any front teeth.
I see. Well, regardless, we've given her the vaccinations she will need to withstand if there should be anything in that bite, any virus or bacteria.
Well, I can assure you, Doctor, I'm a model. That's my profession. I'm not saying that in any kind of braggadocious way. But I work with an awful lot of people with eating disorders, and I've worked with people who have developed conditions like anemia before, and while I don't claim to be an expert, I do know that sometimes a diet needs to change to make someone healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So if it transpires that her iron is low or something like that, then as her boyfriend, I am more than happy to supervise to make sure that she is eating and drinking properly.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that she have a strong front at home. You must excuse my behavior. It's late. It's been a frustrating night. Her father is not a pleasant man to be near when he is angry.
Well, I can keep that confidential as patient doctor, kept confidentiality.
I appreciate that. If you have any more information you can give me about anything that happened that night, that would be an immense help for me and my team.
Of course, if there was anything else that I could think of immediately, I would tell you. If there's anything that comes to mind, bear in mind it's been a long night for me as well. If I think of anything, I will tell you.
So, the only thing I have left is we need to have a main person we can contact here. Now that we have her parents and you. Mm. I'm not really sure who to contact now.
Take her mother's details. It will pacify the beast in her father. And her mother will contact me.
Mr. Xing, I'm not sure if you have seen the state of her mother, but she is not stable.
But the reason she is as upset as she is because she doesn't know what's going on with her daughter. If she is given the call to say her daughter can come home or anything like that, that will help.
All right. I will contact her mother first thing.
And quite frankly, and I know this may sound very odd, but I suffer narcolepsy.
Uh-huh.
Often during daylight hours. So, oftentimes I will be asleep during the day and you wouldn't be able to reach me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have someone checked that out? We have some neurologists here that are pretty good.
As I say, it's one of the habits of being a model is you end up working very strange hours, taking very odd vitamin pills and drinking shakes that mean you can run a marathon one day and you can barely stand up the next.
I see.
Don't worry, I intend to retire soon. And then it'll be steak dinners every night. That's the American way.
All right, Mr. Xing. Well, I wish you a good night and don't fall asleep on your drive home.
No, of course not. I've got a taxi. I clap him on the arm. See, I can see a smile on your face already. And I do like making people happier.
Do you wish to see Ada before you return home?
While her father's there, I don't want to antagonize him. Not while she could potentially be hearing everything that's going on. It's okay. She knows I care.
Good. I'm sure she somewhere, somehow appreciates your appearance here.
Her well-being is my priority.
It's mine too. Have a good night, Mr. Xing.
Thank you, Doctor.
He gets up from his chair and shakes your hand, and he leaves down the corridor.
I get some alcoholic hand gel, despite the fact I'm undead, and I wipe my hands because he's a doctor and he handles ill people.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the chronicle The Sacrifice from Chicago by Night for Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition. Chicago by Night is published by our friends at Onyx Path Publishing, and Vampire the Masquerade is published by Modiphius. Our storyteller was Clara Horsher Herbal, and we were also joined by the gentleman gamer Matthew Dawkins. Check them out on social media and on their Patreons to support their work in the tabletop space. The intro was composed for us by the amazing Simon Kölle, and he has also provided us with all of the music for this chronicle. Check out his work at simonkölle.com. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. More importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out on Patreon. Thank you again for listening, and see you soon again.